Hey, man, I don't think we should be out here on the farm so late. Can't the goats and sheep wait to be taken care of, like, till tomorrow?
Normally, yes. But, you know, that thing has been lurking around town lately.
Okay, well, let's just hurry. It's cold and I'm scared of the dark.
Okay, let's just get the animals put in the... Oh, no.
Oh, man, it's the...
Chupacabra!
You! What's good, my guys? Just thought I'd drop in on my favorite bras. Maybe see if you dudes had anything I could nosh on.
Please, bro. Don't eat our goats.
Yeah, man. Please, spare the little cuties.
Ew. That's way harsh, my dogs. What kind of mythical urban legend do you take me for? I need something much less gnarly than barn animals.
Bro, then we got just the thing for you.
Yeah, man. Why don't you check out Tigre Burritos?
Tigre Burritos? Nice. Like, what kind of grindage would I be partaking in?
Well, they offer breakfast burrito combinations that include sausage, chorizo, potato, and egg.
And they offer lunch burritos that include beef and chicken fajitas, barbacoa, carne guisada, chile verde, and more.
And if you're feeling something other than a burrito, they also serve quesadillas and menudo.
Dude, that's wicked perfect for when the chupacabra had too many cervezas the night before and wakes up feeling all goose and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, Tigre Burritos is open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they're located at 720 Highway 62 in Wolford, Texas.
Yeah, go terrorize them instead of us.
Ah, I'm so stoked to stuff my pie hole with delish comida. I always thought you guys were some kind of posers, but you're really some OGs for hipping me to Tigre Burritos. I'm going to go and pick up my Betty right now and cruise on down there. Thanks, Broseph.
No problem, Chupacabra. Shaka.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Okay, here we go.
All you ladies, pull your chi-chis out. This is the J.P. Lopez Show. Also, if you're a transgender, pull your pecker out. This is the J.P. Lopez Show.
What is up? Thank you for tuning back into the J.P. Lopez Show. I always say, man, if you're not watching the YouTube, you're missing out on the pre-show shenanigans.
That was pretty good. That might have been the best one.
That was good. I forgot we were...
The best free one.
He was like, wait, we were recording? Yeah.
That's the best free one, because like I said, I'm going to get a Patreon with all y'all's other shit, incriminating shit. I got Thomas and Eric back in the studio. Goddamn, man, this episode comes out tomorrow. We're crunching this time, man. Fuck.
On the nick of time.
I know, man. Just schedules have been fucked, man.
Sure.
Are y'all ready? Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
I am.
It's like
ready.
9 days away.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm actually more ready to go to Cancun than I am for Thanksgiving.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm ready for Thanksgiving. I was lucky to have a... My family little get together this past weekend. My brothers came.
I saw that on your daughter's post.
Bro,
how fun was that?
Much needed, brother. Like
you forgot how good that felt, huh?
Man, dude, it was just crazy. It was. I think I made a post. It was almost like my dad. The more I think about it, it's like my pops was there. All my uncles were there. It's almost like they're maybe in the next room or something.
Yeah.
But even my sister and a couple of cousins, they're like, man, that presence. But there was at least 50 to 60 of us, dude, in one of my stepmom's
That's
house.
That's fucking badass, bro.
It was just no drama. You know, they asked me to lead the prayer and put me on the spot. But I was like, God used me. But it was awesome, bro. Just seeing family. And as we get older, we all have to realize we become the uncles, you know, the
oh,
deals
yeah.
and theas.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
But it was a beautiful experience, man. My brothers and sister, I needed it, man. And so I'm ready for Thanksgiving to hopefully see some family and friends. I might stop by y'all's house.
You know what I'm starting to put in my mind? So at family gatherings when there's kids there,
yeah,
I'm starting to get my mind changed around to stop being the pendejo and the dumbass.
I understand.
And to start being the uncle that spits knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you come to that point, yeah.
Yeah, because there's enough funny business on TikTok and all this shit that they're watching. But no one is going to tell him like I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, fucker, don't do this and don't do that. And
you know they need that, too.
Yeah.
So, that's good that you get to that point because we become those uncles, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like hanging out with Isaiah's crew.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah.
Because they're good kids and They are starting to know what they're doing, but then they are going to get to complex stuff, and I just always sit there and drop knowledge. And it ain't always like, oh, you got to make sure you're banking properly. No, it's like, dude, that's not how you talk to a chick, bro. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, and I give them real shit, right?
Shit that matters too. Shit,
yeah. And like, they're still going to go out, have fun. But like, now you got to give them an idea on how to do some certain stuff. Because it's going to happen. Like, we've already lived it. We've seen it. And these kids are so lucky that their parents are a little bit more hands-on than our parents.
Yeah.
And then your parents have friends that's going to give you fucking good-ass advice.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have that shit.
We just Eric and I just grilled one of our friends' nieces at our tailgate. She's a senior this year, and we were like, all right, don't get fucking pregnant. Your first guy in college is going to tell you that he loves you. You're going to fall head over heels, but don't fall over that bullshit. Like, and we're like, do not get pregnant. And if your fucking friend says he's a piece of shit, then listen to your friends. Yeah.
Your friend knows if he's a piece of shit. Your friends
are right, damn it. That's
what's up. And she was like, what the fuck? I just came over here to get a beer.
Yes.
I think that's what my daughter's like about y'all that first night we drank. And because y'all were just kind of like, oh, don't worry about school. Enjoy yourself, and I think you know pretty much told my middle one, and that's the one I need to worry. That's the one I need to put bars on her goddamn window. And don't make me a grandpa yet, not yet, please.
Not yet.
So let me ask you this: the cousins, the young cousins that your family, were they interacting?
I think that's what made it. It was awesome. They weren't like just on their phones or you know, they're at the age now that they know some of the uncles. So yeah, they're interacting. My brother Steve was kind of messing with the younger ones that really don't know us, and they're kind of like, leave me alone. And my brother Steve, man,
just being awkward as fuck.
Stupid as shit, bro. Breaking stuff on the wall. And he's just looking. He's like, it wouldn't be a party without me. But it was so cool. Yeah, you had the young generation just kind of helping Theo's out, and Theo's and my stepmom. Shout out to Charlotte Williams. A lot of people know her through, she worked at Tommy's Burgers way back in the day, and beautiful lady, bro. She opened her house up to us and threw down
for 50 of y'all motherfuckers.
Like, yeah, it's literally, bro. There's a little video, and I was counting. I was like, bro, that's like 40 something. And then there was some outside in the living room. But it was a beautiful thing, bro. Like I said, if you could feel my family's presence there.
Yeah, man. Getting family together is always a good deal.
Yeah, and I pray that more families can do that.
Exactly. Like, I think that's becoming a thing of the past too. Everyone's on struggle time. Everyone's on hustle time. I mean, it's just no time to get together with family no more.
And a lot of people say, they say, your grandparents pass away, it does, shit changes when your grandma and grandpa are the ones that held it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throughout the years, I've lost all my aunts and uncles. I've told you a story, 9 of them, and my grandparents at an early age. So I realized, you can miss those people, but if you don't become that for the next generation, they're going to miss out on the cousins hanging out and spending the night. And my daughter's winning children, my sis.
And then what's family after that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know what I mean? So it was, man, bro, it was much needed. And I really do pray that anybody that's listening to it, man, if you have some issues with family, let that shit go. Even if it's for one day. If your grandparents or your theos or your mom and dad got together and those memories is what made family, man, give your kids that same opportunity.
The way I see it, if it's money that's causing a wedge between y'all,
come on,
let that shit go, man. Yeah. You just paid $50 to have peace and quiet for them few months or that year or whatever.
Yeah,
get over it, man.
Move on.
Move on.
Yeah, $50 ain't shit.
Nah, for real.
It really isn't. Like, I got it in my pocket. I can do stuff or whatever. But if it ain't in your pocket, then don't fucking worry about it.
Because the value of it, family. Mm-hmm. You learn. Don't trust that. But
because you might pay $1,000 if you can get your entire family together. Like, so,
and it'd be and
you're gonna pay close to that if you're having a barbecue. to have your family together
alone for the carne. But if I could bottle that experience up and show that it was well worth it, and I know because our families had some issues, cousins and stuff, but it was beautiful that they put it aside for whatever reasons, new generation. But my heart was happy and full, man.
I don't know if Eric was raised like that, but it's something beautiful in his own fucking heart that. When we have a get together, it's not, no one goes because, Eric is going to have food.
Right.
But everyone goes because Eric's going to have a get together. Yeah. But this dude's dropping at least $300 or $400 on meat alone every fucking time we get together, man. And it's just something that's beautiful. Like, it really is, man.
You value that moment. You
Yeah. And like, I have to put a product out. Every single thing that you're going to eat that I cooked, you're going to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you take pride in that.
And so I have to do that. And if I invite you and I'm cooking, that's what's going to happen. You're about to eat something that is so fucking delicious.
And you're gonna leave eating twice, drinking all day, a plato home, and there's still going to be a fuck ton of food left. Badass, like, bro. That's just something Eric's done, like, forever. And like I said, I don't know if that was your dad or what, but... I mean, that's beautiful, man.
We always ate.
I don't mean to cut you off, sorry, but how badass is it to break bread with people you love?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Right, like
that's cool shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
My dad would always when we were kids, he smoked a brisket every single time to almost the point where you're just tired of brisket. Yeah, right?
Another one, Dad.
And that was. Birthdays, that was Easter, that was 4th of July, whatever. And he made badass brisket. And I watched him make them or whatever. So when I started making them, I fucked up a whole bunch of them. But I don't fuck up brisket no more. And it's pretty good. I'm making a brisket for our tailgate this weekend. And I'm making venison too. Ooh. So I just got a little bit of deer meat. And so that's what we're having at the tailgate.
Get this.
He's got a buddy. He barely showed up the last tailgate. It was his first tailgate this year. But the dude with an accent, he knows Omar.
Oh, the African guy. He lives in Midland.
Oh, he lives in Midland?
Yeah. Okay. He comes down just to come to the games.
He would come to all our tailgates, right?
Okay.
And whenever... Whenever Eric had meat on the grill, that motherfucker was right next to Eric with a little bowl.
Best way.
And like the whole fucking tailgate, he's there next to Eric with a bowl. Like he just and he every just, time you go up to him, he's got food in his mouth. He's just talking, having a good ass time, dude.
Dude, he's having the time of his life.
My best friend.
Hey, yes, he has that accent, right? And every single time he shows up, he eats way more than anybody else.
And it's all love, man.
It tastes so fucking good to him that he eats. And I remember the first few times he was like, can I get more? I was like, bro, you can get as much as you want.
That's badass, yeah.
And dude, he would be fucking making platotes, but he would eat it all. Like, you know, some people, they maña, right?
Yeah,
just throw it away. No, this motherfucker is fucking with a tortilla, cleaning up the fucking plate, dude. He doesn't have to do that. But that motherfucker, two reasons. One is it's delicious to him.
Yeah.
And second, he's very, very respectful. He's going to finish all of his fucking food.
On his plate, yeah.
Not only that, but I think it's in their culture to not waste food.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean, he's serving himself a lot, but he's serving himself the shit that he knows he's going to fucking
he's
eat.
He's like, I'm about to turn all this shit up.
Yeah, that was Omar and Steve's friend. They met him at a Millen Memorial, right? Yeah,
he's a cool motherfucker.
And they worked over there, but they would come every weekend And they invited him, right? They were like, well, come to our tailgate. They told exactly, the motherfucker showed up. And he don't know nobody, right? By the end of the tailgate, man, he's all friends, arm around.
especially with y'all's two personalities, y'all going to make everybody feel welcome.
Yes. So, are you going to be available on Saturday?
I can make myself. Last time he
invited
me.
It's the last one, bro. You got to. Okay.
You have to show up.
Oh, we're going to be there all day.
Okay.
The game's at 4. People don't know that we go to the game. So, like, we probably leave 30 minutes before the game to go into the game.
Okay.
So they'll show up like, oh, I went to y'all's tailgate. No one was there, but like we go to the game.
Yeah. We're not
catch you
be
beforehand.
Yes. I mean, but we're there all fucking day before the game.
So if you show up around noon, so noon to 4 o'clock or to 3:30, we're going to be at the spot.
Okay. I'll hit you up then.
And so we're going to have, I already said that I'm going to make a brisket and then I got some deer meat yesterday. And I'm going to smoke that too. And dude, the deer meat.
And I'll be there to make people laugh. I'll provide entertainment.
I will be drinking.
And you can guarantee that his wife is going to gather us at least one time to take a group picture.
Okay. Oh. At least once. With guys and then the girls.
Yes. And then the guys again with a couple of girls.
See y'all walking off like that. And walk away from the picture. That's badass, though. I love that y'all do that. And going back to how you're talking about you doing the... your pops, that he instilled that in you, and you valued that, right? I keep saying the word value, but you valued, you know, even when you're like, man, he's doing another brisket, you saw how it brought people together.
Yes.
So I've tasted your meat. That don't sound right, but back in the day.
You're talking about my barbecue.
He's barbecue, not like that.
He said, you immediately said, that don't sound right.
We did wrestle together. You know? But yeah, you know, you always hear the stories. I think back in the day, one time at Big A's, you were cooking fajitas or something.
Okay.
You know, after school party. And I think, you know, my stoned ass was, man, this is the best fajitas. Yeah. So I know.
It probably was the best fajitas.
Yeah, true. I believe that. It was me.
It was so best.
It was the bestest.
Real quick, since all three of our dads have passed, really quick, what song reminds you of your dad?
Shout by Tears for Fears. I know that's kind of crazy.
Shout?
Yeah, dude. My dad was a big dude, and one day I asked him as a kid, what's your favorite? And he told me that. I was like, that's your favorite group? And so anything Tears for Fears, dude, anytime it comes on, it'll stop us, me and my kids in our tracks.
And it just fucks you up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's sometimes I need it, dude. I'll be pissed off. And
and it comes on at the craziest times, right? Yep. It, like, when I fucking need to talk to my dad, boom. And seriously, I'm like, fuck, you're fucking here, fucker. Yeah,
for real, bro.
Yeah.
Mine is un puño de tierra.
Ramonella.
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of people sing it, but yeah.
But it was that one. I'm pretty sure. I think we played that at his funeral. My dad's funeral was the greatest funeral I've ever gone to. And
it was a legit celebration of life.
Yeah. And we did a mariachi, right? We were talking to the funeral home when we were setting up stuff. And I was like, do we have mariachi? My mom was like, ay, necesito hablar con los músicos. So my mom went to go talk to to Ruben, mariachi, right? And then he was like, oh, yeah, ya se murió. He goes, ya, no, ya vino para acá para decir nosotros que va a tocar en su funeral. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. And
Thomas
I was like,
don't understand Spanish.
I don't. I can understand.
So when I'm telling stories with Spanish speakers only, I'm going to tell them in Spanish.
my brother being a Spanish teacher, I can't speak it. I understand it to a point. But
Thomas
yeah.
is all,
fuck yes.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
See me speak.
Sing that shit.
And so he was already like, oh, he came to us a few months ago and said when he dies, he wants us to perform at his funeral. And mom was like, see? And he's like, yeah, we already worked out a price. And he gave me like half price, half off. And I was like, I'll be at the bank tomorrow and I'll get your money. So I paid that. The church was phenomenal. And then at the gravesite, the church was playing church music at the gravesite. They played all his favorite rancheras, right?
Nice,
but
nice,
Puño de Tierra was right there. We dropped it on top of it, and that was it right there.
That's cool. Those kind of memories, man. My dad wasn't a Catholic, so it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. We had we had his body. We weren't cremating, but I got his ashes, man. And I was able to take him back up to Colorado at one point because that's where he was born. And threw some ashes, he wanted some at Lowry Field. So one day we kind of walked out there and, Chapman Field. I still haven't been out to Chapman just because there'll come a day, whether me and my brothers and stuff.
You still got some left over?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know the ins and outs of being cremated? This is what I heard. I heard like you spread some, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then like either half or a little bit of them, I heard that you have to bury them.
I think like some people do put them out at sea. I think to let them rest. And I still have that dilemma. I don't know what I'm going to do. I did get a little, my brother and I, shout out my little brother Drew, got some little necklaces. And we put some in each one. And this last year I've let him keep the ashes because my pops has been gone 12 years now. And for the first 10 plus years I've had his ashes to myself.
Because I want to be cremated too.
Yeah. Some people do still get a plot. You know, a space where they can put it in there, and
I know I'm gonna be dead, like obviously, but it just gives me anxiety being alive, knowing that you're going to be in a box. Dead, like, I'm like, just torch me, man. Like, get it over with. Fucking put me in the ash, in the urn.
That's kind of how I am, too. You know, I think we talked on one of my first episodes I was blessed to be on, like, what we wanted to do. And I think it's been more common now. I think that's what I want, you know, if that's what my kids want.
It's the cheaper route, too.
Yeah, the cheapest route. I mean, like,
you want to be cremated or buried?
No, I probably.
Old school.
My body is not owned by me. It's gonna be owned. My mom already bought all these plots.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, "What's up to you? Depends on how big your family is, but you can get buried here. If not, then you can sell the plot." And I was like, "Well, I know for sure 100% that I'm not gonna be cremated."
Okay.
Yeah. And you could say it's religious reasons. I'm not too deep in it.
Yeah.
As far as, but it's cultural.
Yeah, I was going to say the culture.
My religion is based off of culture.
Yeah.
And not necessarily like, I'm going to have to be a holy roller about it. Yeah. That's what I did for the wedding. And actually, it was not just my wedding, and I was perfectly fine with it, but that's how they wanted it. Mm-hmm. And I was, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's how my mom got married. Yeah. And I've got all my sacraments. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to do it. So I probably more likely going to get buried.
And I miss that in the sense that my grandparents were buried. I miss the family getting to get, you know, I hated funerals in hospitals because growing up we were always at the hospital and funerals. But I miss that tradition of that. And the so we kind of got away from that. And you hit it on the nail. It's really because the financial parts of it. But my mom wants to be cremated. So I'm trying to get all the information, what she wants and what she wants me to do with their ashes. And I tell my kids the same thing. It's really what they want to do.
Like, yeah,
They want to hold on to them, if they want to go to the, you know, the old Rangers ballpark and spread some, if they want to, whatever it may be, you know, it's all about, you know, finding peace now and with that person while you're here. Yeah. So, because when they're gone, they're gone. But
Did you ever replay your funeral in your head?
Oh, when I was younger, bro?
When you were younger?
Man, I hope JP shows up. Yeah. My partner show up. Like, you're 12 years old.
I want them to pour out 40s.
He even got the song and everything. It's like, and this is for my homie.
And that gangster, bro, that was my shit. For real.
That bitch better be crying. She better be crying.
For that gangsterly.
And if Thomas don't get in her face and say, "Bitch, he hated you. Why are you here?"
You were bigger to my homies.
Yes, sir. But that took me back to 7th grade, 8th grade real quick. But yeah, to answer your question, I really did.
I did too. In middle school, I always thought about my funeral. I'm like, why the fuck am I thinking about dying all the time?
Who's going to show up?
I never thunk it.
No.
So my dad's favorite song, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if it was his favorite, but he always played it. And it was Stand By Me.
Oh, dude.
So that always reminds me of my dad, right? Yeah. So we're about to get married, and we're talking about the song to come down the aisle. But we got married at Jones Stadium, right? So she's going to have to come down this long stairwell.
Okay.
So it's got to be kind of a long song, whatever. She has no clue, zero, that's my dad's song.
Oh, okay.
And her first, like, just not even thinking about it, she was like, "Oh, Stand By Me." Dude, I fucking cried like a little girl. She's like, "What the fuck's wrong with you, stupid?"
For real.
And I was like, they have no idea what that song means, because that just means that my dad's going to be there. And then she was like, "Oh, shit." I explained to her. She's like, "Oh, fuck." So, yeah, dude. And it's like you said, like, the most fucking time I was like, "Fuck, Dad, I really fucking need you, man." And then, like, the song will come on.
Yes,
like, I'll be at Amigos in the most random fucking place. You hear it on the radio, like, fucking A.
Yes, I know they're playing Puro Rancheras,
yeah, and then that shit pops up.
Stand By Me. Yeah, for real. And, man, it's crazy, because when you think that your heart, it could be a good moment, it could be a bad moment. And, yeah, it's crazy, because when I was a kid, my dad was like, I thought maybe he liked Led Zeppelin or some heavy metal rock or some, you know, old 70s. And yeah, he was like, "Shout." And so even as a kid, I always liked the song, but I still think, like, that don't make sense to me. But when he'd work out and stuff, that, you know, I used to work out to fucking Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
But he he was like, yeah, that meant the world. So anytime I hear it, so it can be everybody wants to rule the world and shout, bro. I'll hear him. To bring the most recent one, I was having a bad moment. It was probably a few months ago, health issues, and I was going through some shit. And I walked, my truck was down. I walked home, came back, and I don't listen to the radio in the house, but went to the room, got me one of my cigarettes, and I put on my phone, and a random YouTube song came on, and went to an ad, and then the next song, it was, you know, Musical.ly, I think it was the app, but the next song was Shout, and...
And he's like, fucker, I'm here, man.
Yeah, bro. And I couldn't help but I was
like, I know you're going through it, but I'm here.
Yep. That's exactly how I felt. Yep. And, you know, and I just had to let a couple. And I don't cry as like I used to. I used to be a big titty baby, man. I was real emotional. I can't cry as much. But certain moments like that, it's like just, you know, you. Yeah.
You, I hate that my dad passed away, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you knew me. I was the fucking tough motherfucker, like. And when my dad passed, man, fucking commercials made me cry. Fucking, I'm the softest pussy now, man. Yeah. And I'm like, man, dad, you fucked me up.
Well, but, it's good that you're able to feel those emotions, you know, whether it sucks that it has to be that you have to go through. But, you know, it's when you face those emotions as you get older, you can help someone that was young and crazy like you, you know, or that didn't face those emotions. But, yeah, hearing those songs, man, yeah, Stand By Me is one. That's one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah. So.
Let's think of pots.
Let's take a quick break, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. And we're back. Yes. So we left talking into some deep shit, but I kind of want to lighten it up a little bit. I wanted to talk to you specifically about this topic. But so I'm trying to get my shit together, bro. Mm-hmm. I really am. I'm not trying to eat like a slob no more. I'm trying to get into the gym as much as I possibly can. With the schedule that I have, it kind of sucks because I'll blame it on being tired, which I know I can push through it, but it's going to be a shitty workout. Yeah. But I'll still go through it. Yeah. You know, I think going through the motion will kind of help you to make it a habit or whatever. But I'm fucking addicted to food, bro. Like,
me too, brother.
Like, I'll fucking go all day eating proper, correctly, and in line with what I want. And then late at night, I'll fucking Uber Eats and, like, just eat that whole fucking order. Mm-hmm. Be so pissed at myself, like not only physically sick, but mentally mm-hmm. sick, mm-hmm. like, with me.
Yeah.
That I was like, how the fuck did you just do that? You know what I mean? So it's not even satisfying, but I still fucking do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I guess I'm can sympathize, I guess, a little bit with a fucking drug addict because I kind of think that's the same.
It's the same like a crackhead. There's some supplementation that you can take that'll take that away.
For real?
I'm down to hear about it. And I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you later on it.
But dude, I'll go all fucking day, only to ruin it at like midnight, and then the next morning I'm like, well, I already fucked it up. So then I'm gonna go eat a fucking horrible breakfast.
Sometimes we revert to what we're comfortable with. Because I can't say I've tried to get in shape, but I'll try to cut back on Cokes. Mm. Cokes are my enemy, and I'll do good for a few days, and then like I said, drinking or you know, having a good night or something, and I'll Uber eat me some Whataburger or something late night and get me a...
You're not supposed to.
I know.
And you still do it.
Because, you like I said, at that moment, it's satisfying, and then it's... Or like I said, it's not even necessarily satisfying. You do it, that guilt is like... Or that pit, you're, that shame, but you're like, fuck it, I'm going to eat it anyway. Yeah, and it's just... What Genesis has helped me with that because she was in counseling. Sometimes it's just we go back to... We revert what's comfortable. So all day, you've made the sacrifice, and you kind of... Mentally, subconsciously, it's like, I'm going to reward myself for what I did, and then we go over. But yeah.
So you know GoPuff, that convenience store on Uber
Eats? Oh, yeah.
So I went all fucking day eating right, eating proper, fucking midnight comes around, I'm bored, I'm fucking craving sugar. I fucking Uber eat a pint of fucking ice cream and like two candies. I Uber Eats that, dude. Dude, what the fuck? And then my wife is in the morning. She's like, where did this come from? And I'm embarrassed to fucking tell her, like, it's like you said, that fucking shame. Yeah, and I'm like, this has to stop. Like, this, I know my mind is more stronger and more disciplined in all aspects of my life except fucking eating properly. Like, I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't.
That's dope that you're putting it out there like that, because I think I struggle with that too. You know, now people have probably figured out I'm a pothead, or I was, but that was kind of my thing. But I think with me, like I would joke around my Whoppers, that was like a control thing for me. When I didn't have the food, or if I'm going through something at home and I'm able to go purchase what I want, it's like that control. Like same thing when my daughter used to cut herself. It's a control thing. I've learned through counseling, when somebody cuts themselves, it's because they can control the healing process of it.
Yeah.
Same thing with when we eat, right? We can control it to an extent of like, well, I can pay for it. If I want that, I can buy that. And it's something that we probably taught ourselves at an early age. Once we first started working, like, oh, I ain't got to ask my mom to buy me shit. I can go buy my own thing.
Because we never ate any of that shit.
Yeah, we never.
We may have eaten ice cream or whatever, but if it was ice cream, it wasn't the fucking good ice cream. It was the cheapest ones. And so, we ate sugar. We ate whatever. But to the extent that we have the opportunity, we have enough money to buy whatever fucking food we feel like, and then we buy it.
And that's crazy, because I can relate to that with a little bit with alcohol, but even back in the day with my weed situation, I would think, like, I can save money to do this, and I would try my hardest, and then, oh, fuck, I'm just going to buy a sack.
Now I need my weed, and then when you smoke weed, then you're like, oh, what am I going to fucking eat now? Yep. And so it's an ongoing cycle. Then you spend two times the amount of money if you would have never smoked weed.
Yep.
Because you buy your weed, and then you buy the food that you are doing with your weed. So instead of spending $0, you spent $180 on shit.
And then, like, alcohol, right? So I can fucking hang out with all my friends, and I'll be like, man, I put one on last night. I'm not going to drink tonight. And I won't.
Yeah.
I can't do that with food, man. Yeah. Like, I just can't. Like, man, you ate like a fucking pig yesterday, and I'm like at a party or whatever, and I'm like, well, it's there. I'm gonna fucking stuff my face with this shit too. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I swear, bro, I'm so disciplined in every aspect of my life except fucking eating, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Do you think you get down on yourself because it's something you're trying to work on, and it's just a habit? Because, you know, I think some...
It's an addiction.
It's the vice behind it.
Yeah.
No, and I don't have an alcohol vice, but you know, I'm hanging out. Like, I don't count how much I'm going to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
That's a good point.
Not counting how much I'm drinking is my vice.
Yeah.
And...
That's a good point.
And so we can work better on that, too. And I'm always going to drink when I come to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I can easily say, I'm not going to drink it. And JP would be like, hey, we're going to record tonight. I'm going to go get some beers. I don't even feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Feel bad about it. But if I'm drinking on other weekdays, if I had one or two, that's not a big deal. It's when you get like 10 and you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, man? And I can see what you're saying. Yeah. You're like, well, because I do that when I'm bored too. You know what I mean? And. Yeah, I do that a lot, especially now. I used to hate DoorDash. Now I'm Genesis helps me. She's my accountant. She'd be like, Dad, you 26 here, 20 this.
Exactly, dude.
And I'm like, God damn, I need a separate job to cover my DoorDash.
I try to save as much money as I can. And then if you look at my, because I do Uber Eats through Venmo, because I don't want them in my checking account. You know what I mean? That's a good point. It's fucking boom, 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 boom. You're like, God damn, dude. Like, cut your shit out.
I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes I'm embarrassed when I just look at my shit. I'm like, I don't even want to look at it because I, you know, my excuse is, oh, I got to feed my kids and my mom or their mom sometimes. But me, you know, even at work, I'm have more discipline than me because it's an all day thing for me.
You always buy your food.
Yeah.
And you always buy ready to eat food.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. And diabetes and stuff is, I got to get on the ball with that, you know. What's convenient, but even convenient isn't cheap anymore.
And I've created a new thing. Y'all do Uber Eats. I've never done Uber Eats.
Okay,
but I have two stripes, one that's half a mile from my house, and then one that's 1 mile from my house. And if you look at my bank statement, you're going to see stripes. And so both stripes provide different things for me. One of them is pretty fucking ghetto. Yeah. But the fried burritos and the fried chicken there, phenomenal. If you're trying to get barbacoa, don't go there. Okay. You have to go to the other one. And then I go get the barbacoa. There's a Mexican ladies that are in their late 40s and their 50s making your burritos.
Oh, you know then. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
where you go to go get the fucking burritos. Well, Leroy, it makes the fried chicken and the fucking burritos, and you go over there to go get that shit. So I'm going back and forth all the fucking time. So now I'm almost going to Stripes every single day. When if you looked at my bank statement before I moved to my current house, you saw Amigos all the time. Yeah. Because I was going to Amigos.
Now you just
but I lived in the other side of the neighborhood, and Amigos is not that close to me, and Stripes is.
Yeah.
So
it's convenient, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you're working on your summertime body because we're going to Mexico next month.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
And, dude, I've dropped some weight, but fuck it. My results would be phenomenal if I just cut my shit out. Mm-hmm. I just keep getting set back after setback, and I'm like, well, in my mind, I'm like, well, you're still down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that should not be the way that I fucking think, dude. Like, I fucking hate that about myself. Like, for real. I do.
No, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I got you.
Now, because what you're saying, you don't want to use the crutch of, well, I am losing weight. You look phenomenal. You're looking great. That discipline, that little hurdle that, like, Boss Man is saying, you'll get over that. Maybe if at least you're hitting something, right? It's a wall. At least you're pushing yourself to a point that you know you can only keep going.
But at midnight, bro, there should be no reason why a fucking Uber Eats a Kit Kat pint of ice cream with a fucking Twix and a Reese's Buttercup.
Call me.
There
should be
no fucking reason why I do that.
Yeah, I'll bullshit your side. I feel you, bro.
I should know better, and I'm like, fuck it. It's like you said. It's like the fucking mentality.
Somebody's eating some ice cream right now. They're like, oh, fuck. Like, JP, maybe want to work.
Well, I bring that up because I hope people can relate, man. Like, I really believe
everybody's going to relate because that is a true addiction.
Yeah, it really is. That's what I say. I thank you for putting it out there because I'm an addict. You bring that up. I used to say when I was married, I was addicted to part of my French pussy, weed, and food. Now I'm addicted to food.
And food.
I don't get the other two no more. But no, there is somebody out there that struggles with it. Because, sometimes you do feel ashamed. But, you know, I jokingly used to say I'd watch 600-pound life or 1,000-pound life to make myself feel better. But I do feel shameful when I just ate a pizza about an hour or two ago. And it's a little bit different because you're trying to work out all day and do your thing. And then at night you feel – me, I feel all goddamn day.
But what pisses me off, and I don't know if you feel this way. We know a lot about nutrition just because we do, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a fact that I'll look at all the nutrition fact on everything that I buy, right? Mm-hmm. But what the fuck is that for? That's out the window when I'm doing my pendejadas. Yeah, like, so anyways, when people are like, oh, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't fuck with that because that's bad for you. And they're like, like, look at you. Like, are you serious? And I'm like,
it's bigger. Yeah, it's bigger than the size. Yeah, because you know you've always been someone who's worked out, taking care of yourself. And I know you think that you we're our own worst critic. We're hardest on ourselves, which is kind of where your success comes from. Because you stay toned. But if you could focus on your progress now, maybe you looking at the stuff you can improve on is what separates you from someone like me. But if you can also look at the progress, it is about the progress. And sometimes you are at a point where you know better, you got to do better, right? So if you can just work on it, but don't beat yourself up, brother, because somebody out there is probably going through it and they're not even at the steps where you're at. And so, it's an everyday battle. So maybe it's an everyday battle.
It is everyday.
So they see you
battle.
Going through it and they might think, man, JP's badass. He's got, he takes his but then at the same time, they have to understand he still struggles with it. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's badass you're sharing that, putting it out there, though.
And me and Paul, we kind of go back and forth on IG, sending each other, like, fat boy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I can tell that he kind of sympathizes with me because he kind of does the same shit based on him and his wife talk about him snacking.
Yeah.
But, dude, mine is extreme, bro. Like I said, midnight Uber eating two fucking candies and a fucking pint of ice cream. Like, dude,
If my wife was awake, she would have said, dude, go to fucking sleep. But no, she's asleep, and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to order it.
I'm not awake at midnight, so I'm not gonna eat at that time. I've never been asleep for 3 hours by then. But you know, I wake up so damn fucking early. So, but you know, I'm a little bit lucky that when I get home at 6:30, and Alex has my food ready for me, and I'll eat whatever she makes. And it's always delicious.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's unorthodox, but if she has her time and she's making it, it's going to be a cool, proper plate. And I don't care what she makes me. It could be fucking cabbage and whatever the hell. And all right, this is what she made.
You're grateful to have.
Yeah. And or she's going to like, hey, I didn't feel like cooking today. I ordered pizza and I got your breadsticks and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm not going to not eat that. And so, but as soon as I'm done by 7 o'clock, my problem is that I may have drank a few beers or whatever. But I'm asleep. I'm going to go to sleep before 10 o'clock. Yeah. So I'm not going to snack. And then I'm at freaking work all freaking day, and I'm eating whatever she made me again. The weekend is the problem. The weekend, I'm not going to ever turn down any chicken strips, any hamburgers, any pizzas.
Brisket or
brisket, whatever it is. And now I may not eat all damn day, but I might stuff my face. And it's a thing. And so you still need to eat something delicious. It's just not eat something delicious every single time you eat.
Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. My brother used to get on to me about my burgers, and I still.
And that's the only time, legit, for real. The tailgates is the only time I don't care to eat.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I know I'm going to get fucking retarded.
Yes.
And I know if I eat, I'm going to puke it all up.
Food's the last thing on my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
I eat just to sample my own food, but I don't eat either.
Everybody's like, oh, man, did you have this and this and this, and you had this at the tailgate? I was like, I didn't eat none of it.
I didn't even know had that.
I was sipping.
Yeah, because I get retarded drunk, and I know if I eat, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, no, you know, when we were in college, we used to get white girl wasted.
And we kind of still do.
But we get retarded, too.
I've heard many stories.
This last home game, I asked my wife, I was like, fuck, Lita, was I passed out? And she goes, no, why? Like, I go, because I don't remember none of the fucking game.
Was I passed out?
And she was like, well, you weren't passed out. I go, I don't remember zero of the fucking game.
And that, my friends, is called blacking out.
Yes. Well, we did it hardcore, right? Because we had a small allotment of time. It was a Thursday game, right?
Yeah, it was a Thursday game.
So we showed up and we just fucking just
went and got to running.
Shots, yes. More shots, yes. A shot again, yes, 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 yes. And then I went into the game and I ordered, just kept on ordering beers and beers and beers to the point where we still had leftover beers when the game finished that we bought at the fucking game. I was like, oh, hold on. I said, I got to finish.
I buy
no
beer at the game. Zero. I take two flasks and I buy water and then just bourbon and water.
I'm buying, well, there's a little booth right next to my seats. So now I'm like, oh, I'm going to give me a beer real quick, right? Or two beers or four beers, whatever the fuck. So I had an entire full can, and it wasn't open, right? They usually open them all, but and I was like, this was not open. So she put it in her purse, and she's like, let's go. And we fucking walked out with that motherfucker, and I was like, oh, shit. So when we were about to get to the street, I said, give me my beer. I started drinking this all.
So I liked now that Thursday was cold because, you know, you're walking to the game with your fucking bourbon, right? And, like, at the gate, they make you throw it away.
Okay.
Well, I just stuffed it in my fucking hoodie, right? So I walk in the game, and then as I walk through the gate, I fucking take my cup out. And Lita's like, what the fuck, dude? And I was like, I got through. So then I go to my seat, and the dude next to me is like, what the fuck, bro? And I was like, hey, I'm Mexican, bro. I ain't spending no $11 beers here, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun game to be at, actually, because TCU's been ruining our fucking attitudes for a minute.
We needed that.
I wanted to beat them so bad last year when they started that whole Cactus Desert bullshit, and then we shit the bed on that. Yeah. I was glad to know that we beat them, but I don't remember it.
I heard.
Yeah, I do not remember it. I was trash.
That's when you know it's a good time.
Everybody on my side of the stadium were throwing tortillas at them every time. There's a kickoff, they fucking try their hardest to hit the motherfuckers in their back. And I was like, fuck them.
I remember doing that shit as a kid with my brother, man. Long, long time ago.
What do you think? What do you think these last two games? You think we got UCF?
After seeing what they did to Oklahoma State, we'll see. You know what I mean? If we need it.
Go
to another bowl game. But
you know, that game was in Orlando, right?
They were in UFC.
Now, we're going to win because the motherfuckers are going to show up to West Texas on fucking Saturday, and the weather's going to change 5 times in that same day.
Yeah. And then, plus, it was Bowman's team.
That dude
is trash.
Yeah. What a tool.
I mean, I give him credit for beating OU, but he's still trash.
Yeah. Yeah,
we can't forget what the fuck he was with us. He was horrible.
Oh, I know.
I seen somebody posted there like, we should have kept Bowman. I was like, no, we shouldn't.
No. You know nothing about football.
Yeah. No. You don't watch football. Do you watch lacrosse that day?
I'll kick your ass lacrosse the street.
Yeah. Old cricket-looking ass.
What you think we're going to get embarrassed in Austin, or are we going to hold our own?
I think we're going to hold our own.
I think we're going to hold our own.
Yes. I think we're going to get embarrassed.
You're being realistic.
I mean,
I've been there when we got embarrassed.
Joey doesn't perform well on the road.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Neither does our offensive coordinator.
No, that dude didn't perform well, period.
Hopefully the referees cheat for us for a change.
Yeah.
And
we don't ever get the calls at home
with
these fuckers.
We don't, but then UT does not deserve any fucking calls.
Yeah.
Because first off, they're UT. But second, they're about to leave us, right? Yeah. Or we just got a divorce and fuck her, right? Yeah. She thinks that the grass is greener on the other side. And all she's going to happen to her is get gangbanged.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to beat the motherfuckers. Or at least put a good game.
But there's so much on the line for them.
For them,
the college playoffs.
Especially last year.
I think they're going to murder the fuck out of us, man.
Now,
I don't want that to happen, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, if they lose to somebody before that game, then they'll probably not have the courage.
I think they got TCU, which they're not going to lose to them.
They lost their tailback, that Malik, whatever their star. I guess he broke his something or tore ACL. So they're going to rely.
They play TCU this past Saturday, right?
Yeah, they barely beat them.
Okay, then
they barely beat them.
I forgot who they.
They won by 3 points.
Yeah, 29-26. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they played. They already played West Virginia, I think.
They're already talking about playing Arch Manning.
Yes.
Well, Edwards is gonna start this.
But that's what I'm saying. You got Ewers back. How the fuck are you talking about playing Arch Manning?
Nobody. Arch Manning is
They'd be stupid to throw his red shirt away. But it depends on Ewers. If he leaves, I don't know if Manning's gonna want to come back. You know what I mean?
Now, I already heard that he's gonna transfer out.
Yeah,
I heard he's already looking to transfer.
Yeah, he's looking at Ole Miss.
Okay. Yeah.
He's looking at.
You'd be a dummy to get him. He's like he's not that good.
I don't see that.
I mean, his name is only carried him this far,
and
he really is not that good.
Well, that's what Ewers did at Ohio State when he left South Lake Carroll. Mm-hmm. He left his junior year. I remember reading it. He classified a year up, so he skipped his senior year in high school, which I think the year before they went to the state championship, so they were favored to win it. He skipped it, signs with OSU early, got like $1 million deal.
Yeah, took $1 million NIL deal. Yeah,
and then total it was like $3 million he got, and then he left, came to UT, and got like the Wrangler deal. So business-wise, you know, son of a bitch is smart, man.
Just like that Aaliyah Chavez girl. Oh, yeah. Dude, I think she's probably going to take a pay cut going into college.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she's probably making millions right now.
I wouldn't doubt as much publicity as she's, you know, her pops is, you know, probably running that. But as much publicity as she's getting, South Carolina and UConn both won her.
And so she's a junior, right? So she has one more year of this bullshit. Yeah.
Like, she can probably graduate early.
Yeah, if she wants to classify mm-hmm. early, because mm-hmm. that's what that Ewers mm-hmm. kid did. But mm-hmm. but also, too, why would you do that
yeah,
if
you're making money to? Now? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, off of whatever.
Yeah, you might as well spend the next 5 years after this season with 6 years making money, because when once you go to the WNBA, you don't make shit.
You really don't. Now, I know there's going to be, just like in anything, you give it time, because I keep up with it because I, you know, I have daughters, but their prices will go up a little bit now that you see the U.S. women's soccer, you know, they fought for their rights. And so there'll be some kind of, like, as a father of daughters, yeah, if you can go make $100,000 a year playing basketball, go fucking do it. Now, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, there's no hope for mm-hmm. they're making, you know, unless you're Brittany Griner or someone who has that, you know, that kind of star power. But, yeah, you know, it's just crazy to think anything like that, man. Mm-hmm. It's just nuts.
She's the number one?
In for the 2024 class.
She's the one, number one junior,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
In her class.
Yeah.
That's insane, man. It really is.
And, yeah. And, you know, from Lubbock, and just see her growth, though, man. Like, she goes to the Nike, these tournaments, and
yeah, the
mm-hmm. and she's talked about, she's number one, you know, and that's.
And on top of that, she's Mexican, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Latina, yeah. Her dad, you know, I've heard her, you know, I've seen where her dad's, you know, good guy, strict with her, and she has a little sister that supposedly is going to be.
Just as good.
Just as good, hopefully.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Baby sister.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, how old is she?
I think she's still in junior high. I don't hear yeah. about her much.
No, I think she's like 11 or 12.
Not even yeah. ever getting there. Yeah.
Am I like misremembering this? But when Aaliyah was 12, didn't she have an offer from Tech when she
yeah,
was 12 years old?
Yeah, she was the first, like her eighth grade year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. going into her eighth grade year. Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
And
dude.
I, you know, and I was like, we'll see how it goes. You know, see if it's a, if her fire dims down.
How do you have an eye for that? How do you know at that fucking young of an age you're going to be that badass?
I don't think there was an eye on it. I think they just made her do strength and
like,
conditioning.
Not her. Like, period. You know, like, how do you know LeBron James at middle school is going to be a fucking phenom? How do you?
Well,
when they have the total package, like, because many people we've seen, mm-hmm. you know, people we knew from high school that should have been played college ball. That
exactly, and then they weren't shit. You know what I mean?
It's because they didn't keep on working.
They didn't have the work ethic mm-hmm. and the right people around them. Like with her, you know, from all intents and purposes, they say her dad's like, you know, I think he said in eighth grade she was shooting like 1,000 shots, or she had to make 1,000 shots before she could go to school, something like that. So mm-hmm. when you put that kind of work ethic into the kid, mm-hmm. and maybe that's the difference between our kids at Lubbock High, you know, we don't always have the size, but sometimes that worth ethic, right? You know,
you
don't have the money to have a personal trainer or coaches. Mm-hmm. So now I like to see the wrestling, how we talk about wrestling all the time. You look at Lubbock High and even Coronado's blowing up, all these, because there's these clubs, these other people that invest in these kids, mm-hmm. whether it's like, hey, I get it, you can't afford it, we'll work with your parents. But then you see the, like, Chris Webber and Jalen Rose type of aspect where some of these kids – there's people on the side that, hey, I'm going to invest in you
yes.
and your family.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
going to
throw money at you. So yes. that could happen too. But then you look at her, man, her marketing, man, you know, because the NIL deal for especially the females, it's in the marketing, right? Because if she's, I don't know what she's making, but as a young teenager like that.
Dude, she has her own basketball camp.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw a TikTok or something where they're talking about, she, like, you know, a lot of kids have shoes, but she's already, there's a possibility that she can even get a shoe one day. Just to even have that. Cheryl Swoops was the shit, you know, she was the first one. So the thought that you might even have your name on a sweater, and my kids go to school with her, and I'm like, man, tell her dad I'll mow her yard. Nah. We'll mow her yard.
Yes.
You said Lubbock High, and that brought something to my mind. I recently went to their senior night for like some portraits.
Okay, yeah.
Dude, do you think the city of Lubbock is purposely keeping that team mm-hmm. for shit? Mm-hmm. They have to, right?
They are.
Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I'm in the stands, and I already know what plays they are about to run.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, they started off great this year. Their first two or three games, they looked good. I watched
them. I'm talking about the opposing team. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in the stands, and I already know what defense needs to be called to stop that bullshit. Yeah. And they can't. Like, dude, it was fucking painful to watch that game. Yeah. And I'm like, if I'm in the stands and I already know what the fuck, that means these coaches ain't worth the fuck.
No, you know what? Motivating somebody goes a long way.
At the coach for the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that motherfucker, he came in as himself, too. He ain't fake. That's what I told my boss this morning. I was like, that dude right there, he showed up. They made him the interim coach, and I was like, he ain't fake. He's literally himself.
I remember him being
South Central or whatever the fuck he's from. Like, that motherfucker talks exactly the way that he talks. I go, and no fucking players respond to it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you got to motivate somebody. Mm-hmm. And if your team is where you're from, they're going to respond from you. Yeah. But you keep on sending people over there, and nobody's going to respond. Yeah. And then on top of that, a really, really good coach. Okay, I'm from where most of these kids are from. But, you know, I got these other kids that grew up not like me. I can still motivate them, too. Yeah. Because they're going to jump on, and nobody does that. Like, not at Lubbock High, at least. Yeah. Dude, I have to give, like, I want to give motivational speeches to some of these people, and, like, nothing like, oh, that was so intellectual or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, I'm just going to give you the facts.
Yeah, encouragement goes a lot. And I give the last couple of coaches, I give them credit in the sense of, like, Lubbock High, they created a culture where they do more – which I wish stuff that we could have done. They'll do like with the feeder schools. So especially this Hispanic coach, I don't know him personally, but he's done stuff where they try to incorporate like more family aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And I like that. What I've noticed is when you talk about, are they maybe held back? I kind of think so in a sense, or they're not allowed to grow as much. Cause one, you see the busing aspect, you have Cooper schools now, Friendship. So you're going to lose a lot of your talent that's from the hood, but also too, I don't know if it has something to do with whether they're failing or not, because they start off. Monterey was the first few games I watched with my kids. Monterey looked good. Lubbock High looked good. You know, I saw their game. They barely, Big Spring beat them. It's kind of one of the typical Lubbock High games. They should have won and they lost it. But then after that, they're getting beat 58-0 and something. And I'm like, what the? And I'm telling my daughters, I'm like, I'm watching the games or I'm listening to them old school, and there's a big fall off. So I don't know if, you know, natural injuries and stuff, but I don't know. It always does seem like we are held back. You know, but that's what we're known for.
But we're in high school, mm-hmm. and they bring on Coach Russell. Mm-hmm. Although he's a fucking dickhead, he brings us into playoff contention the whole time that he's there. Yep. And what do? They get him the fuck out of there. Yep.
Yep. Well, he didn't mesh well with anybody because he was a fucking dickhead.
But but he knew how to fucking coach.
Yeah, I know, but he did know how to fucking coach, but he almost got fucking beat up by football players.
Yeah.
Because that motherfucker will talk to you like you're a little fucking bitch for no fucking reason. That you didn't get to see that firsthand. I did, man. Oh. I don't know how many times where I fucking talk shit to him. I said, dude, like, shut the fuck up, dude. Oh. And Joel, I was going to let Joel beat up Coach Russell one time because he was picking on him. And I was shocked because he was like, Joel, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah, you ain't blocking a goddamn fucking soul. And Joel was blocking a fucking soul. He was fucking pushing motherfuckers all over the fucking place. And then he went, turned around, looked at Coach Russell. He's like, fuck you, bitch. He goes, I'll fuck you up right now. He goes, you ain't going to do shit. He goes, and he fucking lunged at him. And Coach Garcia grabbed him and saved him because I fucking moved out of the way because I was waiting for fucking Joel to fuck up that motherfucker, right? Yeah. No, but no, fuck Coach Russell. Like, he was an innovator or whatever, but fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to – I've learned – and I'm not a coach. I should have been a coach. But, like, I've learned with my brother being a coach, he doesn't necessarily – you got to motivate people in different ways. Some people need to get their yes, yo, that. You know, like with my pops, you know, my pops can just look at me or certain kids and you'd run through a wall.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to put a head, a arm. Loudermilk was like that for me. He'd put his arm around me and tell me where I need, you know, he gave me every damn chance I'd quit. And
Loudermilk was a shitty ass coach, though.
but sometimes you have to, you know, adapt to each kid, right? And I've learned that
with Genesis trying to be a wrestling coach, I've told her that. You know, some girls you're going to have to yell at them and mm-hmm. get it through their head. Some girls you might have to pull them aside and like, listen, I understand.
Not everybody's the same.
Right? So when you can find coaches like that to help you, but when it's just one of these, like, do as I say, and you don't give those kids an opportunity to understand what the fuck you're trying to say, mm-hmm. it only creates, like, this intense environment. So mm-hmm. going back, yeah, dude, we were 5-5. I still look at that. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. We as good as we were, the talent we had, the coaches.
Yeah, but we were 5-5, but won like four fucking. And that Coronado game was mm-hmm. a make or break game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like that game would have sent us to the playoffs. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think the city in general is holding the sports aspect mm-hmm. of Lubbock High down just because their academics shine so much.
And that's why I'm a
big... They can't have the total package in Lubbock.
And that's why I support their wrestling, as one, even the, my kids at Monterey's, because, dude, they've had state champs. And we're old school. Like I said, I've said many times, we're kind of like godfathers of it. But you see these kids, they're above and beyond where we could have ever been. And they still don't get a lot of shine from the city. So mm-hmm. shout out to Coach Leal from Lubbock High. I follow him on Facebook. Real good person. Man, he does a lot for the community in that aspect. But not only for his team, he shares mm-hmm. Estacado stuff. He shares the other ones when they're having senior nights. He's like, get out there. And so I like to see that community getting together. I wish our football could do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, right now Estacado's our one hope. You know, they're the mm-hmm. they're going to be in the playoffs and they're going to hopefully do some damage. But, yeah, I'd love to see Lubbock High get somewhere, bro. You know,
I just don't understand how Cooper changed their shit around mm-hmm. so quickly. Mm-hmm. Friendship's always been a powerhouse, but you get these new coaches in for Monterey and Coronado, and they do decent. But you always get the new coach for Lubbock High, and they're consistently shitty.
Yeah,
it's
always
shitty.
Bad. The you know it needs to also start from the elementary. How do I explain this? So, all right, Patrick Mahomes is huge, right? He's so huge. And he spent 3 years here in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
So let's just imagine if we sent Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech was like, hey, there's an elementary school we want you to go talk to. Just go say hi. Tell them that try real hard. Think about playing football and be a Texas Tech fan. The closest elementary school to that football stadium is McQuarters.
Yeah.
They have spent zero time. Yeah. Texas Tech has spent zero time going to McQuarters.
Yep.
So if Patrick Mahomes would have showed up, 20-year-old Patrick Mahomes shows up, hey, guys, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm the quarterback for Texas Tech right here across the street. And now Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And all those little kids, little boys that were in that class, want to be Patrick Mahomes. And there's only one way that you can attempt to be Patrick Mahomes is by playing football, right? So they would have been playing football.
Yep.
And then these kids would have grew up with the passion of playing football because they met Patrick Mahomes one time.
Yep. That's
so why don't we send motherfuckers to our fucking schools? No, they go to the other fucking side of town mm-hmm. to go say what's up to all these little kids that are already playing football, mm-hmm. that already have their dad's money, mm-hmm. that they can do this and go do that. Go to the schools that don't have fucking jack shit.
Yep, that's how it always is.
Help us to be better.
And I think that's why I do respect, I don't know, I need to look it up, Lubbock High's coach, that's what I think. Because that's what he's been doing. And now it's on a different level, but he's sending these high schoolers to these elementaries, and they'll post it on LISD TV. Mm-hmm. I'll watch it. And you'll see some of these kids mm-hmm. like taking pictures with Lubbock High kids in their Letterman jackets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's planting a seed. But you're same thing with Lady Raider basketball, bro. Mm-hmm. They've kind of do that. They used to invite kids throughout the day, give them free tickets. And mm-hmm. one year I took my kids to it. My one daughter got to go. I took the other two out. And it was when you incorporate that, because, it's planting that seed. Mm-hmm. Some little Mexican kid there's a couple of Latinos on our team, you know. Imagine if they just went into McQuarter area, Wolford, Jackson, and that area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and maybe tap into that.
A lot of it is like your parents don't have the money for it.
Yeah.
So, therefore, they grow up like, oh, that's not for me.
Yes.
No, it is for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Like, it's for you specifically.
It's for everybody.
Yeah. It's for everybody. Just you have to try harder.
Yeah.
And just because your parents don't know how to do it, doesn't mean you cannot do it.
Yes, that's good shit,
bro. When I told my mother that I was going to go to college, and she looked at me and she was like, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
So the next day she goes, so tell me about this college thing that you're trying to do. And I was like, well, coach said that I should probably try to play football in college. So I'm going to go to college. I said, well, I'm not going to play at those little schools. I'm going to play at Texas Tech or try to.
Yeah.
I go, but that's where I want to go. And she was like, all right, well, if you're so adamant about going to college, then good luck.
She said, I don't know why you don't want to work, but if you want to waste your time at college.
And she was like, I'm going to tell you right now that if you go to college, I can't help you with nothing. I don't know any of that stuff that they're teaching. Yeah. And I have zero money to give to you to pay for it. But if you can figure it out and pay for it and pass your classes and sign paperwork or whatever it is, then good luck. Yeah. I hope you succeed and I hope you graduate from college. And I was like, oh, no, I'll be fine. I wasn't telling you to help me. I was just informing you that I was going to attempt to go to college and see what I can do.
But even that support she gave you is badass. Cause she's up front, like, hey, I don't have money to give you, but you do it, I'm here for you. That's badass.
So now this woman, my brother Omar, graduated from college, and then Domingo's kid graduated from college. So now my mom's like, oh yeah, all I do is have college kids.
That's right. That's all I do is win, puto. Get a family like me. That's all I do is win, puto.
So that's it right there, right?
That's bad. Like,
fuck yeah.
And
salute to that.
So
I guess we'll end on that note, man.
That's bad.
Fucking like cheers, bro. Thank y'all for fucking coming out, man, on such a short notice. That being said, Thomas, you got any shout outs?
Shout out to family and friends, man. Anybody listening to it, love y'all guys. Thanks for supporting my brother over here.
Hit that number for your business, bro.
Hit me up on Facebook.
That Tex-Mex.
Hit me up on Facebook under Thomas Rios. If you need your leafs done, all that stuff. Throughout the year, thank y'all for y'all support. You can also hit me up.
The phone number, puto.
806-535-4215. Text. Give me a text. And I promise you, I'm not talking to none of y'all's wives.
You got space for more clients, especially with the whole...
I have zero space. So
I told him to plug himself, and then he was like, fucker, I can't take on any more clients. I was like, oh, shit.
I'm trying to drop a couple of them.
Just join the gym.
Planet Fitness could use your help.
So I give a shout out to, of course, Alex. But you know what? This chick went way above and beyond. I wasn't embarrassed, but I was kind of like taken back on how much effort she did this past week for me. It was my birthday.
Nice.
And I swear to God, I had a fucking birthday party every single day.
Yeah.
From Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And
there's no denying that your wife don't love you, brother.
No, yeah, sure. And so she did all of that.
Come on, must be nice.
I appreciate her, and I appreciate everybody that hooked me up with some birthday gifts. I got the Lopez family and the Martinez family. They got me a big old outside heater that you see at the restaurants and stuff.
Oh, nice. Oh yeah.
And it's pretty badass. I put it together this past weekend and it works.
Okay, yeah.
I'm glad. I'm typical family man shit.
Oh yeah.
She's like, we're going half with the Martinez for Eric's gift. Cool.
Okay.
And then it was like the day after. I was like, what are we getting?
He'll like that. Cool.
I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna take a bottle of Elmer to him." Fuck it.
The Trevinos got me a little fire pit, and so I appreciate
that. Happy belated birthday, brother.
And you know, thank you. I appreciate that. But you know, it's for the backyard, and I like to have guests at the backyard, and the next get together, I'll make sure to hit you. I not that I didn't invite you, but I didn't invite anybody. My wife invites everybody, so I need to tell her to get Reels on the list.
get him on the list.
and I just basically just show up to my own party. Yeah, I don't know who's going to be there or whatever. So
you do what the business
is. I make sure there's a Reels on the list because you need to show up too. Because you've seen the front yard, you didn't see the backyard, right?
No, not yet. And hit me up next time if you need it before the weather's right before the season ends.
The front yard still looks great. Cool. It's still short and it's still green. Like it doesn't grow crazy.
So that's
good for me.
That's what's up, brother.
So shout out Paul Trevino, Adam Martinez, Jacob Sines, Adrian Puga. Most biggest shout out to Mike DeLeon. Homeboy sent me this hat, bro. The Fat Donkey. It's a bad motherfucker.
Oh,
man.
That is dope, bro.
So, all love, support, man. Appreciate you. Shout out to Harvey Guidos. I always fuck up that last name. I think that's right. But if you guys haven't had Bubba and Breeze yet, I believe they're going to be at the Midnight Craving this Friday.
Nice.
So go check them out. Shout out House. I don't know if Delight is going to be there. But if you hadn't had D-Lights, it's sugar-free ice cream.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about that.
So you can have a gallon of it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That shit was fucking phenomenal, man. So I don't know if they'll be at the Midnight Craving either. But shout out to both of them. Anywho, excuse me. Shout out DJ Kipo, Tigre. Tigre is going about... They're building a new fucking restaurant. Bigger and better, bro. Patriot Payton Construction, man. So it's all love. The whole John Eric Media, man. The Pundels every Friday. Deep Dive with Donnie every Monday. So go fuck with them, man. Yes. And until next time, read some books.
Yeah.